All right. Thank you, ladies. God bless you. Thank you for singing tonight. You know, that's a pretty simple truth. Just do right. You know, you say, boy, that's kind of hard. Just do right. Yeah, but it's pretty simple truth, though. And, you know, the Bible's got all the instructions you need. It's got all the directions you need and the way that you need to do right. If we'll just adhere to it. When we get away from the Bible, that's when we struggle with doing right. Take your Bible, if you would, tonight. 1 Thessalonians, if you would, chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 1 is where we're going to be tonight. And we're going to read verses 5 through verse number 8. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Would you stand with me, please, tonight? First Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse, or 1 Thessalonians 1, beginning in verse number 5. Paul says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Now, I want you to notice a couple things here, a couple of words to circle. He says, "And ye became," and I want you to circle the word "followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." And notice this, he says, "So that ye were," circle the word "examples, to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." And then he says, "For from you," circle the word "sounded out the word," or the word "of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." You know why Paul didn't need to speak anything? Because the work of the church of Thessalonica spoke for them. Their heart spoke for them. Their actions spoke for them. And did you notice he said they were followers, they were examples, and then because of that it said they sounded out the word. Which means that I would assume they had to open their mouth, right? If you're going to sound something out, they had to open their mouth, or they had to do something to proclaim the truths of the Word of God. On our sign out here in front of our church, it reads Trinity Baptist Church. And if you'll notice up in the right corner, there's an emblem right there, and it has the shape of a heart inside the church building. And inside that heart, it says, "A church with a heart." And that's what I want to talk to you about, is a church with a heart. Because I think these Thessalonians were that type of church. And we're going to open our Bibles. We're going to examine some scriptures. So you're going to need your Bible open tonight and look at some things about how do you not only become a church with a heart, how do you continue to be a church with a heart? Now, Father, we do ask that you bless our time together, and what a privilege it is to be saved. What a wonderful, glorious thing it is, Lord, to know that there's a God in heaven who loves us and cares for us and provides for us and protects us. And we're so thankful for you allowing us to be here in this service tonight. Have your way in this particular meeting in Jesus' name. Amen, and you can be seated. When I came to this church nearly 26 years ago, I came because something was different about the people, something was different about the preaching, and something was certainly different about the purpose of the church. When I walked in those back doors nearly 26 years ago, I knew right away something was different about this congregation of believers. And I remember as I came in and drove into the parking lot here, I remember seeing the sign, by the way, which is the same sign that's been out here for many years. I remember seeing Trinity Baptist Church, and I remember seeing on that sign, that little logo, "A church with a heart." And I began to think about that as I was invited to come, and I had some soul winners come by my door, knock on my door, and you know, that was one of the things that caught my eye, was that little slogan, "A church with a heart." You see, because I know what that means when someone talks about having heart. I don't understand what that means when somebody tells you that. And I played athletics all my life, and I know what something means when a coach says, "Hey, you don't have any heart. You're not playing with any passion. You're not doing anything. You don't have any motivation behind what you're doing. You know what? As a church of the living God, we need to have heart. And we need to be a church with a heart. You know, as I thought about that slogan, I began to think about all the people that's invested their love, their time in my life and the life of my family. Have you ever thought about how much people have invested in you? You ever thought about how much prayer somebody's invested in you? You ever thought about how much time somebody's invested in you, just whether they invited you over or they just spent time with you? I begin to think about all of the people that have invested in my life. You know, I meditated on this countless hours over the past few days of all those who invested over the 26 years in my life. And I thought about the people who've been an incredible testimony and example for Christ. I could call names. Some of you haven't been around the church long enough to know some of the names I'd call out. But in those beginning stages, I'm thinking right now of one family that made a difference. I'm talking about right off the bat. And you know what? That impressed me. You got to understand that I wasn't raised in a Baptist church. I wasn't used to this hospitality of people inviting you. Hey, would you? Hey, you want to come over to our home and eat? Do you want to? Hey, can we take you out to supper? And can we do it? And this family just seemed to overwhelm us with hospitality and love, and it made a difference. You know what they had? They had what's called heart. They understood what it meant to be hospitable toward people. I thought about the people who stood in a day of adversity and didn't quit God just because things didn't go our way, or just because they thought that things should have gone a certain way. Hey, listen to me, folks. Things aren't always going to go our way. But that doesn't mean that we walk out and quit God. Hey, you know what? People who stand in the day of adversity are people that got a heart. People that got a passion for the things of God. People that got a purpose for the things of God. You see, I rejoice in the fact that the church has stayed true to its purpose, to its plan, and to its God over these years. A church cannot claim to be a church with a heart if it doesn't have a commitment to it. You see, if we're going to be and fulfill what the sign says, we've got to be committed to the cause. We've got to be committed to have a heart and be a church with a heart. If not, let's take a bucket of paint and go paint over it. We're not going to live up to what our slogan says. But you know something? When I read about the church at Thessalonica, when you read particularly 1 Thessalonians, you notice a common word that you can see multiple times through there. Words like care. Words like comforted. You know what? I have a sneaky suspicion this church understood what it meant to be a church with a heart. And if we're going to be what God intends us to be, church, we're going to have commitment to the cause. This church, the church at Thessalonica, displayed Christianity in such a way that others around them knew that they were committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. I wonder how many people. Now listen, I know our neighbors know we're committed. I know they know. Because I see them out here on Sundays when all the cars are parked down Tomlin here. I see them when they're walking their dogs here and up and down here, and we got the speakers going and people are singing. And I mean, people are like bees on honey around here. Hey, they don't know how to take that. So I know our neighbors know we're committed to what we're doing. I don't wonder if our neighbors know we're committed. I wonder if our city knows that we're committed. I wonder if the surrounding areas know that Trinity Baptist Church is committed to be a church with a heart. A church committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you, folks, I'm here today. I'm here not only saved, I'm in the ministry today. I'm here behind this pulpit today because somebody cared. Because somebody decided, you know what? I'm not going to be just the average church member. I'm going to be somebody that's going to have heart. I'm going to be somebody that's going to go out and find people in the pew. I'm going to go find a visitor. I'm going to go find somebody and be a blessing to them. I wonder how many of us came to church tonight before we came. I wonder how many of us were committed, saying, you know what? I'm going to seek out somebody and I'm going to be a blessing to them tonight. I'm going to find somebody And I'm just going to tell them, you know what? I'm praying for you. And listen, folks, it ought not to be uncommon to find our members praying out in the hallways here. Somebody says, listen, I'm going through a tough time. Would you pray with me? Let's just pray right now. Hey, our hallways and vestibule and the foyer and the parking lot ought to be filled with members over here and over here and over here praying for each other. I've got a good friend in the ministry, Brother Gerald Chadwick. You don't want to ask Brother Chadwick to pray. He's going to pray for you right then. I mean, right. Listen, I remember a couple of years at camp when I first got to know him a little bit better. And we were at camp, and it was, I think, my last year or next to the last year, something like that, running junior camp. And he came and spent the week with us. And he, as soon as they drove up, he went, made a beeline straight for me and said, I've been praying for you, Brother Lassiter. I said, man, I appreciate it, Brother Chadwick. He said, let's just ask God to bless the week. I mean, he grabbed me by the neck, pulled me in beside him, kind of got me in a headlock, prayed for me. Hey, listen, I'd rather somebody be praying for me in a headlock than somebody that didn't give a flip. You see, all I'm saying to you is if we're going to be a church with a heart, we're going to have a commitment. You see, Jesus tells us that he will build the church. Did he not? He says that if he builds the church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know what your job and my job is to do? Is to love the people that God has put in this church. Minister to the people that God has put in this church. And then go out and reach more people outside this church so we can get them inside the church so we can have the opportunity to love more people and minister to more people. See, that's called a church with a heart. That's what these people at Thessalonica, they were followers, they were examples, and they sounded the word. It's what they did. Take your Bible, if you would, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with me for just a moment. You see, the Lord, I mentioned it, he's the one that's going to build his church. He structures it like he wants it. He has gone to great extents tonight to piece together the Trinity Baptist Church exactly like he wants it tonight. He adds to the church as it pleases him. I want you to notice 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 4, if you would. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, Paul says, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now notice this. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Does your Bible say prophet? Does it say to profit with all? That tells me that, you know what we're supposed to be doing? Not just as individuals, but as a church, we're supposed to be profitable to the kingdom of God. Not supposed to be unprofitable and not producing. We're supposed to be profitable to the overall program of God. Look at verse number 18. Paul says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, that's the local church, as it hath pleased who? Hey, listen now, I want you to look around because the people of God that are here because it pleased God to put them here. It may not have pleased me or you, but it didn't matter whether it pleased you or me. What it mattered is God put us here and he expects us to work together as a whole to be a church with a heart. Now, he's assembled this particular membership. He's gathered together this group of teenagers to begin with our new youth pastor here in a few weeks to build a work for God. Hey, by the way, let me commend our teen department for just a second. Sunday, no youth pastor. Thank God, Brother and Mrs. Graff, wonderful people, doing a great job in our teen department. Not having a full-time youth pastor, 49. We got 59 on roll. We only had 10 teenagers absent Sunday. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. God assembled this group of teenagers for such a time as this, for this hour. And I believe God's going to take Brother and Mrs. Obshendik and our teenagers and take our teen department to even greater heights. You see, he's developed a Christian school and placed teachers and students in place exactly like he wanted them. You see, he started a Spanish-speaking ministry here at our church, and place Brother Gonzalez as a pastoral leader in that Spanish department. By the way, Spanish department, 470 Sunday. And isn't this good? And it's for, hey, I'm just here to tell you, you know what? You know why there was that many? You know why there was that many people? Somebody has a heart. Somebody does. Listen, that's what we're supposed to be. That church at Thessalonica, they were caring, they were comforting, they were doing all of these things, they were following, they were sounding out the word. Why? Because their heart was full of God. Their heart was filled with the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's what we're supposed to be. You see, I could go on and on, but the truth of the matter is that God has assembled a group of people together here at Trinity Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas, empowered us to do His will, given us a commission, supplied the resources, and now expects us to fulfill it. We've got the resources. Now He expects us to fulfill His commission. Now, let me ask you this. What's a church with a heart? If you had to define what you would call a church with a heart, how would you define it? I think it would be defined something like this. It's a people of God with passion for souls, a love for God, courage to serve God, and when these ingredients are present within a real church, then God can be manifested in the community and in a city. Let me say that again. A church with a heart is a church with compassion. It's a church that has a passion for souls, a love for God, and then has courage. Boy, you know what? That's something missing today, isn't it? We need some courage. So, oh, the world is so bad, preacher. Yeah, but you know what? We need to have courage to stand up against the world. And let me tell you something, dear friends. If the people of God don't start standing up, we're going to get run over. You ain't even going to be able to recognize America in 25 years. But you know who's going to have to stand up? The people of God. And the people of God are going to have to stand up and say, no, 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 we're not doing thus saith the Lord. Hey, let me tell you something that excited me the other day. I was driving right down here, and I can't remember where it was. Me and Micah were driving down the road here. I think it was at Park Row in New York. That's where it was. And we were driving down the road, and there was a group of people on the corner there passing tracts out and a guy preaching. Hey, you know what I did with that? You know what? Honk, honk. Hey, I got some news for you. Did you know there's other people out there believing God? Hey, did you know there's other people besides Trinity Baptist Church that have a heart and have a desire to see people saved? He was preaching, had him a speaker out there. He was going to town. They were passing tracts. Hey, two of them had a guy cornered over there on a bicycle. Hey, there's other people love God. Yeah, there's people with a heart. I'm just saying to you folks, you know what? If we're going to be a church with a heart, then we're going to have to do the things. There's going to have to be commitment. Listen, to have a heart is to have passion. It's a love for the souls of men. A church with a heart is a church with purpose, with a cause. Remember David? Remember all those rascals that wouldn't go down there and face Goliath? Remember, it was a young boy that had to say, is there not a... Yeah, there's a cause. You say, what's the cause, preacher? Tell you what. Go walk through the mall sometime. Yeah, just go walk down the street sometime. Hey, I tell you what. You don't have to do it. Come out soul-winning tomorrow night, and I'll take you to some places. Yeah, there's a cause. This world's messed up in sin, folks. You see, if a church with a heart, we're going to have passion, a love for souls. We're going to have a purpose. There's going to have to be a cause. Hey, listen, there can be pleasure. Did you know there can be excitement in serving God? Hey, I'm telling you, you can't do anything. You can't give me a shot of B12 any more exciting than when I lead somebody to Christ. B12 can't even do that. I'm telling you, when you lead somebody to Christ, I get pumped up. I get excited. You know why? Because I snatched another one out of the family of the devil. Got another one into the family of God. Now, wait a minute now. You start trying to mess with the devil's kids, he ain't gonna be happy with you. Okay? So just get ready. But it's all right. If God be for us, who can be against us? You see, it's kind of like fighting with a big brother. Boy, you tough, man, when big brother's got you back, right? You can yap all you want until you look around and he ain't there. Oh, no. But God will never leave us nor forsake us, will he? Hey, there's pleasure, there's joy, there's patience. A church with a heart, it's going to have to give. It's going to have patience. You know what that means? That means we've got to give people hope. Got to give people hope. Not only the hope of salvation and the hope of eternal life, but hey, there's hope to get out of your habits. There's hope to get out of your vices and out of your lifestyle. But a church with a heart not only has passion and purpose and pleasure and patience, there's praise. You know what? When we come to church, it's okay to praise God. Yeah, it's okay. We can praise God. Hey, you know what's in... You know, folks, listen. There's peace in serving the Lord. Hey, you know what? If we serve God and we have a heart for souls and a passion and a desire to serve God, you know what we can do? We can go home tonight and just go sleep. I can go to sleep tonight. I don't have to take any sleeping pills. I know because you're exhausted. That's beside the point. All right? But you know what? I can go home tonight and I can sleep. I can be at peace. Hey, can I tell you tonight, folks, I'm not going to bed worrying about where the Lord's going to come or not. Ooh, is the Lord going to come tonight? I don't know if I want to go yet. Hey, listen, he can come tonight. He can come tomorrow. Hey, listen, he's not going to bother me a bit. I'm going to go to sleep tonight. If he comes in my sleep, glory to God. You see, the heart of a church can be reflected in multiple ways through our soul-winning efforts, through our bus ministry or Sunday school ministry. But let me say this. When a church made up of God's people care, people will notice. They will notice. I don't have time, folks, to talk about... I could talk to you about ministry after ministry after ministry that are just wide open. You know why? Because nobody wants to bother with certain ministry. They don't want to mess with certain people. Now, I want you to take your Bible and show you some things real quick. And this is kind of the message tonight. And I'll try to move quickly. Take your Bible, Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. Okay? Matthew chapter 25. Find your place, verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man, Jesus speaking here, says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Now I want you to notice verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, that's the believers, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now I want you to notice what he says. I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now I want you to notice this list, because I want to take and analyze this list for just a second quickly tonight and make some applications and we'll be done. I want you to notice, if you would please, what he says here. Jesus speaking says, I was an hungered and you gave me meat. Now folks, listen, there's a lot of hungry people in this world. You know, I'm talking about in the United States, a lot of hungry people. And you know what? We ought not to forbear. We ought not to hold back from anyone that has the physical need of nourishment. We ought to do that. But let me tell you, a greater hunger that people have than physical food. There is a desire. There is an eagerness today. And he says that when I was a hungered, you gave me meat. You gave me nourishment. You gave me something that would sustain me. Folks, listen to me. I'm all for, and our church does it quite frequently, and that is we put food in the mouth of people who need to be fed. And we ought to do that. Let me tell you something. A church with a heart has a balance. We're not only giving them physical food, we're giving them spiritual food. And let me tell you something. The world is hungry today for the gospel of Christ. Now, the thing about it is, what happened is we've been reading too many books. We've been listening to too many professors that say that nobody cares about the gospel anymore, that nobody cares about serving God, that nobody cares about the church. That's the reason, you know what? Hey, let's just cut down on the times that we come to church because nobody's interested. Well, isn't that something? Look around. There's enough here interested. Hey, I'm telling you, folks, they're shutting her down everywhere. They're closing her down everywhere because people think that they're not interested. Hey, folks, we don't need less church. We need more church. We don't need less God. We need more God. We don't need less preaching. We need more preaching, more teaching. You see, Jesus said, I was hungered and you gave me meat. Hey, we ought to be doing both, feeding the body and the soul. Jesus did both. Let me give you a perfect illustration. On two different occasions, Jesus fed 5,000 men on one occasion and 4,000 on the other occasion. He fed their physical nourishment. He gave them physical nourishment. But wait a minute, he didn't stop there. He also extended and gave out spiritual nourishment as well. You see, he was doing both. The church at Thessalonica, they were not only followers of Christ, Paul said, you are examples. You're sounding out the word. And they begin to do this kind of thing. They begin to comfort one another. Hey, the church, dear friend, we ought to be giving out spiritual nourishment. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Hey, I'm not saying you can't get truth from some other place, but that the church is where God established as the headquarters of the truth. It's a pillar and ground of the truth. Hey, the pastors, the people of God and the pastors of God ought to be zealous to teach and instruct others, whether it be children or whether it be adults, whether it be walk-in guests or riders on the bus. We ought to be apt and ready to teach everyone the truth. Hey, folks, hooey on this junk of just selecting who we're going to minister to. And who are we not going to minister to? Hey, Jesus ministered to the whole gamut. The whole gamut of folks. From the rich to the middle class to the poor. To the sick to the deformed. He ministered to all of them. And hey, Jesus said, when I was hungered, you gave me nourishment. You gave me meat. Lord, when did we give? Hey, when you've done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. You see, folks, there ought to be that close of a relationship between us and the Lord that when we do something for somebody, whether it be physical nourishment or spiritual nourishment, we understand that we're doing it as unto the Lord. That's the kind of relationship we ought to have to Christ. But I want you to look at what else he says. You see, a church with a heart is going to be one, not only it's going to feed the physical body, but they're going to feed the spiritual side as well. There's a great, great need today. He says, but not only was I hungered and you gave me meat, he said, I was thirsty and you gave me drink. You ever been thirsty to a point? I'm talking about dry as a bone. And you were, man, I'm telling you, you could have drank a gallon of water if you could have gotten a hold of it. And you were so dry. You were so deficient of being hydrated that, man, you felt weak. You felt like, oh, my, I don't think I'm going to be able to walk. You ever been there? Yeah, I've been there. I've been there so weak, so thirsty. Boy, I'll tell you, you get out in this old summer heat, you get out there and start working, pretty soon, man, you start feeling lightheaded. Pretty soon your knees start feeling weak. You thought, man, I think I'm fixing to go now. Now you just need to go over in the shade somewhere and get you something to drink. You see, he said, I was thirsty and you gave me drink. He said, I was dry. Listen, Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Remember the woman at the well? Remember he taught her a very simple lesson? She said, oh, Lord, what water are you talking about? He said, you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But he said, if you'll drink of me, if you'll drink of my water, living water, he said, you'll never thirst again. You know what she said? Give me this drink. Give me this water to drink. I want some of it. You know what? The people of God, not only here at our church, but the people outside the church, they ought to be ready to be to drink. And listen, they're so thirsty, they're so hungry, somebody's got to be there to give it to them. That ought to be us. That's what a church of the heart does. You see, we need to be a source of encouragement. You ever been in a place in your Christian life where you've been just dry? You ever been on your knees and praying and you thought, man alive, this ain't working? You know, it's like you pray and it goes up and then it seems like it just comes right back down on your head. Y'all ain't never been there? Okay. Well, I guess I'm the only one that's ever been there then. Yeah, you know what? All of us in your Christian life, you'll hit that dry spell. You'll hit a dry time in your life and you just think, man alive, I think I'm just doing this just out of duty. Well, thank God you're doing it out of duty. Don't quit. Hey, the thing about it is, folks, listen, if a church with a heart, when the hungry are there, we feed them. When the thirsty are there, we give them to drink. Listen, we need to be a source of encouragement to others. There's some people right now, maybe here tonight, maybe they'll be here Sunday, that are dry in their Christian life. They're dry. You can always tell who they are. Amen. Right? Cut back on the amens. You know, not much smiling going on. You know what? Folks, do we pay attention to what goes on around us? We need to pay more attention about the people we go to church with. We need to look around and see who's not smiling. Go try to help them. Because there's a reason they're not smiling, I promise you. You see, they're thirsty. There may be a dryness there. And Jesus said, I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. Wait a minute, it didn't stop there. He said, I was a stranger, and you took me in. A stranger, and you took me in. Take your Bible, go to Hebrews 13 for just a second. Look at this just a moment. Hebrews chapter 13. A stranger, someone unknown, someone you're unacquainted with. He said, I was a stranger, and you took me in. I want you to notice this. In Hebrews chapter 13, I don't understand all about this, but I'm going to read it to you, and then you can ask Jesus in your prayer time. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain who? Now, I want you to notice this next statement. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, I've heard a lot of people think that have tried to take that verse and explain that verse. Listen, my concern about this verse right here is he said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. You see, sometimes, folks, a church with a heart, it's not my four no more. It's not section north. This is our congregation, section north, and then congregation B, section south, and then section, middle section, other section, and all, listen, your section is not the church. It's all the church. Hey, we need to make sure, hey, you know what to do some of us good? Some on this side, next service, move over on this side with these people. Then some of them over here, they're shaking their head, nodding. Then some on this side, move to this side. Hey, folks, you know something? I was here when they put these pews in, and I got to looking. I don't see nobody's name on none of these. There's nobody's name on these pews. Hey, somebody goes, I've been sitting over in this area right over here for 20-something. Somebody sits there, you know what? I just go find someplace else. That ain't my pew! We've lost our mind. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. I'm just saying, listen, God sends us strangers. Are we ministering to them? He said, I was a stranger and you took me in. I wonder how many people would be in the pews tonight if we practiced being a church with a heart. I'm telling you. The churches that are going for God are churches that care about people. They care about the souls of people. They care about the welfare of people. They care about their physical welfare. They visit them when they're in their hospital. They visit them when they're out of town. Hey, all of the things. I've even had phone calls from people. When I'm out of town, hey, Brother Todd, just want to call and see how you're doing. Doing fine. I'm on vacation. Hey, all I'm saying to you folks, we need to be hospitable. We need to be welcoming, kind, gentle, good to people. Hey, folks, listen, I heard a preacher tell me a long time ago when I first started ministry, I wrote it down in my Bible. He said, you need to be kind to everyone because everyone's having a heart. Hey, it's going to come back. You see, a church with a heart is a welcoming church. It's a kind church. Hey, a church with a heart doesn't look on somebody for what? Hey, folks, I wish you could see a picture of what I looked like prior to salvation. I'm telling you, some of you, and my wife is not going to show you those pictures either. Those have been tucked away. Listen, I'm telling you, if I'd have walked in a room where most of you had grabbed your children, most of you would have hid. But you know what? It's what the devil will do to you. But you know something? When somebody knocked on my door, I came to the door. I can remember their two faces right now. And they began to talk to me about the Lord. And of course, I sat there like many of us did on that first witness. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Carlos? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Because some of you did the same thing. Folded those arms. Some of you didn't even give them time today. Some of you slammed the door in some of the folks in this church's face, and you're here tonight. Say, oh, I didn't mean to, Brother Todd. Well, y'all too. Hurt my feelings. Hey, I'm just saying to you, you know what, folks? Jesus said, I was a stranger, and you took me in. When were you a stranger, and we took you in? You've done it unto the least of these. You've done it unto me. Keep in mind, when you're ministering to people, you're ministering to Christ. Look what else he said. I was a hungered, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, he said, and you clothed me. Nakedness. Open, not covered, unarmed. Hey, you know what we're supposed to be doing? You find new people coming to church, they just got saved. You know what we got to do? We got to spend time arming them. Hey, we got to spend time taking them and showing them how to put on the whole armor of God that they may be stand against the wiles of the devil. Got to help people in need. Hey, listen, folks, we do it both around here. We clothe them physically, but we want to clothe them spiritually as well. We want them to put on Christ. We want to be conformed to the image of Christ. We want to help them be clothed with the armor of God so they can stand against the devil. Hey, we want them to live a productive and godly life. Hey, some may not know what Bible to use. Well, listen, folks, some people may come on Sunday and use something other than the King James Bible that we use here at our church. That doesn't mean that we go up there and say, huh, you know what? That's a devil's book. They don't know. Hey, I didn't know. You know what? Somebody had to tell me which Bible to use. They had to show me why. Some people don't know. Hey, you know what? They're naked. They're not clothed. They don't know what Bible to use. Hey, they don't know anything about any kind of holy living or dressing modestly. They don't know anything about that. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to love them and teach them and grow them in Christ till they understand how to live holy, how to live separated. See, isn't it amazing how many of us, we forget how long it took us to come around? You know how long it took me to come around to some of this stuff? Years. Oh, yeah. You say, how did it happen, Brother Todd? You just keep serving God, keeping the Word of God, stay under good preaching, listen to the good. Hey, listen, some people don't they don't know what type of music to listen to. They just listen to whatever. You know what? But, listen, they just need somebody. Somebody that says, hey, listen, you're naked. You're unclothed. You're unarmed. Here's what the Bible says. You know who does that? Church of the Heart does that. Yeah. Committed. They're looking for people. Hey, they don't have any standards of morality. They don't understand what forgiveness is. They don't understand what restoration is. Where are they going to learn that? They're going to learn that from a church with a heart. Where are they going to learn that? I'm telling you, folks, Trinity Baptist Church, hey, we didn't build this place for this place, for that balcony to be empty. We didn't build this place for these pews to be empty. These pews are designed to hold people. Did y'all know that? Souls. You know how these pews are going to be filled? You know how that balcony is going to be filled? When we decide we're going to be the church part in the heart of the Metroplex. Look what else he said. He said, I was sick. I was sick and you visited. Not only is there a lot of people that are physically sick, there's a lot of people emotionally sick. There's a lot of people spiritually sick. They're everywhere, folks. Who's going to minister to them? See, the thing about it is, folks, you know that the Lord didn't say that we were to minister only to those who could give back. Hey, you know what? There's going to be some ministries. There's going to be people that we're going to minister to that will never give back. That's not what we're here for anyway. Because you know what we're doing? He says, I was sick and you visited me. Now, look, folks, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I'm just saying, I wonder how many times we take our prayer list and we pray, look down on that list of those who are sick. I wonder how many times that we've prayed for them. But I wonder how many times we've sent them a card, made a phone call, or even gone to some of their relatives in the church and said, hey, listen, how are they doing? Well, it gets real quiet, doesn't it? You know why? Because we're all guilty. I'm telling you. So you know what we got to do? You say, what do we got to do, preacher? We're going to have to intensify our caring. We're going to have to intensify and enlarge, the Bible says, our heart. Sick, and you visited me. Some of the most forsaken people today, people that live in these in nursing homes all around this church right here. Yet we've got good men in our church that minister on a regular basis. I, every Tuesday, go down here to the Hugh Smith Recreation Center, teach a Bible lesson to about a dozen elderly people. None of them come to our church. But I go to and teach those people the Word of God. We've had this ministry for 20-some-odd years. The director came to me last week, said, we're opening two new centers. Can y'all supply a preacher? Now, the thing about it is, why did he come to me? He had all these, he could go anywhere. You know what? The thing about it is, I think he's detected something here. He's detected that maybe, just maybe, Trinity Baptist Church actually cares about these people. He says, hey, I need, we're opening two new centers, one of them right down here in Cooper and Sanford. They're opening another one somewhere else in Arlington here. He says, listen, one of them's opening September the 7th. Can you supply somebody to speak every week? Now, I'm just saying, there's opportunities everywhere. Opportunities everywhere. Nursing homes everywhere. I went down one time not too long ago. Well, I say not too long ago, several years ago. I went over here off of Randall Mill. Went back up the drive there and went up there. And it used to be, it's a rehab center now, but it used to be, Mrs. Z, where Ed is, it used to be an Alzheimer's place. Had a lady that visited our church at work there, and she said, nobody comes up there. Nobody. Well, if you know anything about Alzheimer's patients, you understand the concept there. Most Alzheimer's patients live in about a 36-hour world. Nobody. So you know what I did? I told her, ma'am, I'll be there. I went up there, took my Bible, had about a half a dozen Alzheimer's patients up there. Listen, the entire time I spoke, the entire time I sang, they got up, walked around. I thought they were circling the wagon. I didn't know what they was going to do to me. But you know what? I just kept preaching. I just kept singing. And after it's all said and done, you know what? I had a couple of them come up there and said, thank you, preacher, for being here today. Hey, who cares about these folks? I tell you who cares. A church with a heart cares. And I'm telling you, folks, listen, I cannot tell you how many people over the course of time that I've had the opportunity to lead to Christ because I was in the room of a nursing home with their loved one there praying with them when they came in. Next door neighbor right here. His grandmother was in a nursing home right down here, and I visited her and visited her and visited her, and she was a member of First Baptist here in town. And I'd go in there just about every Thursday afternoon, right when I first came on staff here, and I'd go in and I'd walk the halls and I'd go in and I'd talk to people. Hey, listen, I had two elderly women want to marry me. My wife, I never even told her that. I feel bad about that. I've been harboring that all these years. And every Thursday I'd go, and one of those dear ladies would be sitting out there, and she'd hold her hand out, and I'd tell her, Mrs. Sultan, no. Every Thursday. But I'd go and pray with his grandmother. Every Thursday, go in there and pray with her. 90-something years old. Couldn't go to church. I'm just saying, you know what? There's a lot of sick. Jesus said, I was sick and you visited. Let me give you one more. He said, I was in prison, and you came to me. Take your Bible. Let me show you one last thing here, if I could. James chapter 2. I've gone long. I need to stop. James chapter 2. I'm going to have to cut this down once school starts. Parents are going to start walking out. I don't blame them. I probably would too. All right, James 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto you, your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, boy, that terminology changed today, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? He said, I was in prison, you came to me. He said, you had no respect of persons. This Tuesday, I'll make the drive down to Huntsville. Matter of fact, any of you guys want to go, all you got to have is a driver's license. But I need to know now if you want to go. But anyway, I'll go down Tuesday, go down to the Ellis unit, preach to about 200, 300 men incarcerated, many of them for the rest of their lives. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Jesus said, I was in prison. You know what? You came to me. You didn't forget me? Hey, folks, let me tell you something. You know what an untapped mission field is? You know how many people are incarcerated in America today? A small country. Untapped mission field. Go in there, minister. And listen, folks, you got to understand, you go in there. Many of those folks can't give anything back except a thanks, a hug, a love. That's all they can give back. Let me tell you something. Brother Hinton, you've been with it. Some of you other guys, Brother Graff's been with it. Hey, listen, it's hard to get out of there, isn't it? I mean, these guys are hugging your neck. These guys are shaking your hand. They want to talk to you. It's hard to get out of there. We could stay an hour there if they'd let us just talking to the inmates. But they're grateful. You know why? Because somebody cares. Somebody cares. Now, let me wrap this thing up. and just simply say, if we're going to be a church with a heart, there's going to have to be commitment. Jesus said all of these things. He said, and if you've done it under one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. So what I want us to do, church, is when we serve God. You know, bus workers, when you take and put a snow cone into the hand of that kid or you put a bus flyer in the hand of the kid, just keep in mind, it's like putting in the hand of Jesus. That ain't Jesus' hand. Oh, yeah. That's what he said it was. And by the way, can I remind you for about the millionth time, see his hands right here? Those hands you have, they're his hands as well. The only hands he hath to pass out tracts is your hands. The only feet he has to take the gospel are your feet. The only mouth he has to sound out the word is your mouth. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to be a church with a heart, like the sign says, or not? Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Father, bless our time. Bless this invitation. Lord, if there might be someone here tonight that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, let this be that hour. Let this be the time. Please, in the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray. Now, with heads bowed,